No, Dad, look, I gave it 2 semesters. Just like you said. College, though, it's shit, man. I don't like it. I'm no good. My grades suck. I don't even know why I'm going. It's just a big waste of time. I mean, I couldn't even pass college algebra for crying out loud. And by the way, where am I gonna ever use this stuff anyway? Then he says, "But you did pretty good in English." Whatever. I mean, I just missed him and that with a wave of my hand. And then he looks right at me and he quietly says, "Give me another semester." Just to push me. He already knew that I wasn't gonna give in. He knew I wasn't going back, but he was pushing me, and I knew it, and he knew it, like it was a game, like he was just daring me to go back, you know? He always did that, just to see if he could move me off my position, to see if I would go back to college, which is what he wanted. And for the record, now that I'm a father myself, and I would never blame him or any parent for wanting a good education for their children. But I was like, no, I ain't going back. I need something different. What do you mean? I don't know, but not this. It was late, and he had been up since God knows when. I could see it in his eyes and his face. He was tired, and he could have just left it at that, went to sleep, but he didn't. Instead, he just sat across from me at that same old kitchen table, calm as always, you know, hands folded in front of him, patiently listening, nodding every so often, and letting me rant and rave and ramble like so many times before. And after I finished my rant, he said, "So what are you gonna do?" Then sat back in his chair and looked at me, waiting for a response. At this point, I was flustered, my mind was racing, and after a few seconds, I blurted out, "Well, I'm not working construction for you my whole life." "That's perfectly fine, son. As a matter of fact, I don't want you working construction for me your whole life. That's the whole purpose of this conversation. But that's not what I asked you. I asked you, what are you going to do?" I looked down and I thought for a second. "Well, I'm gonna go talk to a recruiter." "Okay, fine. Which one?" And I didn't know, I didn't have a definitive plan at the time. And I said, "I don't know, the Marines." "Okay, why the Marine Corps?" Because that's what you did." Yes, I did. "But don't you think you owe it to yourself to talk to all of the services before you make a big decision like this?" "Yeah, I guess. I mean, got a point. So when were you planning on talking to them?" Sometime this week. And I was thinking, since you were in the military, maybe you could go with me and maybe ask some questions that might help." "All right, sure. Let me know when you're going and I'll go with you." And then he stood up and he walked out of the room. Hello, everyone. My name is Bishop Friesch, and wherever you may be watching or listening, let me first thank you for taking the time to be here and welcome you to My Life Through Music, a project where I talk about the songs and music that were either there at the time or they describe the thoughts, feelings, or emotions I was experiencing at these particular places and at these particular times. And the song that represents these memories is Stick to Your Guns by Bon Jovi, released in 1988. Man, I love this song. I love this song. In the beginning, right from the beginning, you get this really hard driving G chords, you know, coming from an electric guitar, obviously. And we also hear these huge, powerful, wide, I call it wide, punchy drums. But then, after that, we get this kind of abrupt slowdown, almost like a pause, followed by this very melodic and beautiful acoustic guitar, which to me personally, it gives me this weird counterintuitive dynamic and sound, but it's weird because it's perfect. It's perfect. And I think it works. I think it works very well for the spirit of the song. And then shortly after that, we hear John Bon Jovi start to sing softly, but teach in a strong and powerful way. Stick to your guns. It's a very common phrase. I think, you know, you've heard it. I've heard it. I've used it. What does it mean? Well, simply put, it means to stick to something that you say or hold fast to a view or an opinion or an action that you take. And you do this with no regard to what others might think, to what others might say, or to what others might do. And in this song, we get so many gems of wisdom coming in so many ways, from, you know, figurative to literal or even implied. And you get all these lessons and meanings. And that is what's so awesome and so incredible about music, man. I mean, some songs, you know, they put you in different moods. Some songs entertain. Some make us happy. Some make us sad. Some encourage. Some motivate. And then some turn us outward, and then some, they turn us inward. And some, like this one, teach. So, as usual, my dad was right, again, and I was really glad for his input during this entire process, because it was a very smart thing, as he suggested, to talk to all of the services and get all the information that I could, because let's face it, this decision was going to affect my immediate future, not just for days and not just for weeks and not just for months, but for years. And so, to make a long story short, I finally did narrow it down between the Marine Corps and the United States Army. And after it was all said and done, I ended up choosing the United States Army. And this is why. In the Marine Corps, at the time, and it might have changed, but I doubt it has, but it was a minimum of 4 years. And I think the other services also was a minimum of four. And you had very little control over what your job was going to be. So, for example, if you wanted to be one thing, but there was a need for something else, you would be placed in that job where there was more of a need. And it could have been anything. So if there was a need for, say, cooks, then that's what you would be. If there was a need for mechanics, then that's what you would have to be. I think you get the idea. The Army, however, had a little bit more of an appealing proposition, at least for me. At the time, check this out. At the time, the Army was offering a 2-year enlistment. Yes, at the time, the Army was offering a 2-year enlistment. And I don't know if it's like that anymore, but you had more control over what your job was going to be, based on your ASVAB score and what you qualified for. And the Army also had something called the Army College Fund, in addition to the GI Bill, which I didn't care. My dad thought it was a great idea. But so while comparing the two services, it seemed to be a better choice for me personally to join the United States Army, for the simple fact that, again, it was a 2-year enlistment. And what that meant for me was that, hey, look, if I got in and I didn't like it, then I only had 2 years to endure and I can just get out. As opposed to, you know, the Marine Corps, hey, 4 years. If I didn't like it, I was stuck in there for 4 years. And so that's why the United States Army was more appealing to me. And so that was the best choice for me for my particular situation at that time. So I did it, man. I signed on the bottom line. And I joined the United States Army as a 13 Bravo, which is a Canon crew member. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know what it's like now, but what that meant was I was going to be firing howitzers, which was cool, man. Which kind and what size was still yet to be determined after basic training and AIT, but that's what I was going to be doing. And the reason I chose that MOS, and MOS is military occupational specialty, was simply because that's what my dad did, you know, in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. And so basically I had, you know, heard about it growing up. I was a little bit familiar with it and it sounded pretty cool. And that was basically all there was behind my decision. I mean, hey, I was 18. And so after, you know, after it was all said and done, all I knew was that summer on 24 July, 1990, I was leaving the MEP station here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was going to Fort Sill, Oklahoma for basic training and AIT. And after that, I had no idea. In this song, Bon Jovi uses many ways to illustrate what it means to stick to your guns. I mean, in the very first line, you know, he asks, quote, "So you want to be a cowboy? Well, you know it's more than just the ride," end quote. Which tells me that, hey, look, if you're going to do something or be something, you have to be more than just dressing up as it. You know, it's more than putting on the uniform. It's more than putting on the boots. You know, you got to be it. You got to live it. You got to believe in it. And you have to be able to define it and defend it. Also, in my mind, I believe that the phrases in the chorus, "You can pull the trigger," quote unquote, and "You can go to war," quote unquote, are essentially the same thing. And those terms can be used interchangeably. And they seem to generally, you know, have this negative connotation due to the fact that they are followed by the words "only if you have to," kind of like as a last resort. And I'll kind of get into that in a second. But sometimes in life, you do have to pull the trigger and you do have to go to war. Whatever those things, you know, mean symbolically or metaphorically to you, and whatever it means within the context of your life, sometimes you got to pull the trigger. Sometimes you do have to go to war. And again, I don't think those phrases were meant to be taken just literally, but I believe these phrases go deeper and they have a deeper meaning. And I think they allude to that you have to be true to yourself. You have to be true to yourself and be able to defend yourself, defend what you stand for, whatever it is, when it comes to your principles, when it comes to maybe a code that you live by or what you believe in. Because in life, there will be times where you're going to have to make tough decisions. You're going to have to make unpopular decisions and unpopular choices. And you might even have to fight. Again, not just physically, but in some other way to defend that. And I guarantee you, you will find yourself in life many times at the crossroads. And you will have to make a choice whether to do these things or not. And when you do, just like the chorus says, some will love you and some will curse you. Hey, I've been loved many times and it's great. And it's great. And yes, I've also been cursed many times, many times, many times. And that's no fun. But it's life. That is life. I mean, the song even alludes to it by saying, "I've got the scars that prove it," quote unquote. And the sooner you understand this, the sooner you're going to start to become more resilient. And the sooner you become more resilient, you get stronger. And the sooner you get stronger, the sooner you can make it easier on you to stick to your guns. because that's what it's all about. I want to share just one more thing, and I know I'm taking a lot of time here, but it's something that makes this song really hit home for me. And I guess contextually within the framework of the project and where I'm at and what I'm talking about, this is probably the best place to share it. When I was young, my dad would have these profound conversations with me. I mean, he'd just start talking about this deep stuff. And sometimes it would be when we were like working in the backyard. You know, I'd have a shovel in my hand or pushing a lawnmower and he'd be alongside of me talking, or sometimes it would be underneath a car or something, changing the oil, or sometimes it would be while he was just sitting in his chair reading the paper. And he'd talk about all kinds of stuff. Did your dad ever do that? Did your dad ever do that, man? I mean, just start talking about this deep stuff. And I don't know why he would do this, but maybe he was hoping, like me when I talk to my girls like this, that at least some of it might sink in. And on this particular occasion, I don't even know why we were having this specific conversation. And I don't know what prompted it, but I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember exactly where we were, where he was sitting, and where I was standing. I was standing right underneath this lamp. You know, one of those 1970s floor lamps. And it was over his chair. He was reading the paper. And he started talking to me out of the blue about relationships. First between two individuals. But then he expanded it from there to families and organizations and groups all the way up to countries. And we were talking about conflict and power dynamics and even like vulnerability and stuff like that. And yeah, it was strange. I mean, I was 7 years old, but I remember it so clearly. And I remember him putting it like this. And he said, no matter what's going on, there's always an answer and there's always a solution. There is. But for many reasons, couples, groups, families, organizations, and yes, even countries, they just keep fighting. And he went on to ask me after that, you know, I'm just standing there. He goes, is it always necessary to fight? And I just shrugged my shoulders. I was like, I don't know. I'm seven, you know. And then he said, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. But usually it's not. And then he started getting a little deeper with me. He said, in your life, I promise you, you will find yourself in either of one of two positions, a weaker position or a stronger position. When you're in the weak position and someone or a group of people are in the strong position, they will have an opportunity to, and he used terms like, put the screws to you or drop the hammer on you. And they may be within their right to do so. And you may be deserving of it. And depending on the situation, that decision will be entirely up to them. And you're going to have to deal with it. Or you will find yourself at times where you are in the stronger position and somebody else is in the weaker position. And again, you will be the one to have the opportunity, and again, he used the phrases that to drop the hammer, to put the screws to them. And again, you may be within your rights to do so or have a good reason to do it. And it might feel good to want to do it. And then he took his eyes off the newspaper and he looked at me and he said, but you know, even when you can, you don't always have to. And I never forgot that. And every time I hear this song, it takes me back to that conversation with the words at the end of the chorus ringing in my ears. You can go to war only if you have to. It's only if you have to. Have I practiced that perfectly over the years? No, I have not. But with time, with experience and maturity, I feel that I've gotten better. And these are the reasons why Stick to Your Guns by Bon Jovi is right here in my Life Through Music playlist. Go listen to it when you get a chance. I'll put a link in the description below. It's off the New Jersey record if you haven't heard it. But when you get a chance, whatever platform you get your music from, go listen to it. And you know, make sure you're in a place where you can, you know, kind of contemplate and let it sink in, because I know that you will find it just as influential and inspiring to you as it is to me. Well, it was official, man. I was going to be a soldier. I didn't know the entirety of what was really ahead of me, but deep down I was like, yeah, man, I'm doing this. I'm sticking to my guns, and I'm aiming from the heart. But after a decision like joining the Army, I had to do a lot of preparation. I had a lot to prepare for. I had to get my mind right. I had to get my body right. And I got a lot of supportive phone calls from friends and family and visits. And it was great. And I had one conversation with my godfather that was just so profound, so helpful, and so meaningful. And it came at the right place at the right time. But as much as I prepared, as much as I thought I was prepared for, there was one thing that I wasn't prepared for. And that was a lot of goodbyes. I didn't realize at the time how many goodbyes I would have to go through, not only then, but in the upcoming years. I didn't realize all the goodbyes. Man, I'll definitely talk about all those down the road, but during this time, there was a lot of goodbyes, but there was one goodbye specifically to a very special person. I know you guys know who I'm probably alluding to. A very special person, a goodbye that I would never forget, a goodbye that still is and always will be etched in my mind and in my heart forever. But was it goodbye for now, or was it goodbye for forever? I plan on talking about all of that the next time I talk a little more about my life through music. Thank you again for your time. I know it's important. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you in the next video. The very first time I heard this song, I happened to be out riding my motorcycle. I was a senior. This is 89 probably. And I was with some friends, and we stopped at another friend's house that I knew from the football team. And we were standing in the hallway outside his room talking about something. I don't remember what it was. And I heard this song coming out of his room, and I hadn't heard it before. And I was like, in the middle of the conversation, I was like, wait, hey, is this Bon Jovi? And he was like, yeah. And so I walked away. I left the conversation, and I stood closer to the stereo, and I listened to this song, and I said, dude, you gotta let me borrow this. It's a very common prey. In the Marine Corps, at the time, this, we're talking 24 years ago, each of the other services had 4 years as well, and so after it was all said and